Blog Talk Radio.
All right, coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. Today I'll be talking to you guys about the years of the philosopher, and I'm reading my little subtitle or what I had there for a little introduction, and this is going to be Genesis 6 and 11 through 12, and then Matthew 24 and 5 through 5. Okay, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way up on the earth. And he said, in Matthew 24 and 3, says, and as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And that's where we're at today, people. We're living in a world that is full of violence, and everyone, as he said, has corrupted his way. In other words, God had a set plan for this planet, but man is no longer living according to that. And he asked what his disciples were asking him in Matthew 20, when would it be an end? When he was talking about, he says, and what shall be the sign that I come of thy coming and the ends of the world? In other words, when shall this wickedness be taken away from the planet? When shall this all end? When shall we have a kingdom that we can live in and not be corrupt by government officials, as you guys see? So many things going on in politics, and these are different world kings, but that's what Jesus came to preach. When you look at Matthew 4, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Notice he didn't say a church was at hand. He said his kingdom. And many people don't understand the kingdom of God has a two-part. It's a two-part birth. It's a water and spirit, but the first part of that birth is the spirit, which we've seen on the day of Pentecost. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, so I'm going to have to kind of slow this down a little bit. But so we're waiting the physical arrival. But before we can see the physical arrival of Christ's kingdom, we have the years of the philosophers. In other words, these people out here teaching everything but what God had intended for them to teach. What Christ had came, when he came to teach his kingdom, nowadays you don't get that. You get all these people talking about this wealth and health and all of that stuff and money and how to become prosperous. And I had seen a show the other day, and this man was advertising. He's on TV. He was advertising the University of Prosperity. He was saying how people have abused and not known how to handle their tithes, and that they should come. Like, it was like supposed to be a church service, but it's telling the people how to get rich. You know, we're living in this era of the ancient ear. And that's really what we're dealing with. And so you have people out there today that are coming. They said many, many. In other words, many philosophies are coming under the heading of Christ, but it has nothing to do with Christ. They're going to tell you all kind of good things and smooth things to liberate you from your money. And so let's look at what the Bible is teaching us, because that's what's absent today. It's not there's an absence of people who's trying to teach, but they're not. They're trying to teach, but they're not teaching the doctrine of Christ. You know, they're not teaching about the coming of his kingdom, his physical kingdom. They're not telling you what you need to get in this kingdom. And many people are going to be shocked that day, because a lot of them are going to get up there and think they're about to go into the kingdom of God and been sitting up in these churches, and Christ is going to tell them, he's going to let them know that you have nothing to do with me. You've been sitting up under this guy who's philosophizing, and that's not no scripture edification in that. And that's what's going on today. We have a lot of that. People teaching people stuff, and it has no scriptural value whatsoever. It says, not everyone that says unto me, and this is going to be Matthew 7, in verse 20, chapter 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Notice this, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do it, the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, he that do it, those that are practicing the word of God and being obedient, not those that just hearing, but those that are obeying, he that doeth the will of my Father. He's following out God's purpose. And he's going on to say, he's letting them know. It's going to be a whole lot of things they're saying. They're going to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In other words, they're telling you, they thinking they have been teaching what Jesus was talking about, but all the time they've been standing there with a philosophy, with their opinion. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. It says, and then will I profess unto them, never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. This is what's going on today. So many people out here and just wasting time. They're not going to make it in. They're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. That's just something because of the condition of the people. And I'm sitting here looking at some of my notes. I hate when I write notes, people, and bear with me, because when I usually write notes, I normally always can never stick to my notes. It's kind of strange. It's better just to freelance or do it freehand when you're talking about the word of God, because God is moving verses. You hearing me. What good is it if you're just hearing me? If you're not here to hear the word of God, then there is no blessing in that. Everybody has an opinion. I'm talking about the word of God, and that's what we're dealing with today, because today a lot of young people out there looking for the word of God. There's even a lot of older people looking for the word of God. But when you don't understand what time we're in, it's easy for you to get deceived. And that's what he was trying to warn the people, begin to tell them that time was coming. And when would he do away with all this wickedness? If you look at Psalms 92, and now I'm going to go to Amos. Okay. This is Psalms 92, verse 6 through 7. And he says, the brutish man knoweth not, neither do a foolish understand this. They don't understand this when their disciples are asking, when was the evil coming to an end? And he said, take heed. He told them, the first thing he told them, pay attention. Take heed. Pay attention that you don't get deceived. You don't get to follow in all these fashionable movements. And that's Matthew's when he told them that. He told them, he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And see that you be not troubled. And this is Matthew 24:6. I'm going right back to Psalms 92:6-7 to show you how it ties in. So he's telling you the things that's going to be going on. Like he said, violence should cover the earth, just as it was in the days of Noah, and everybody doing their own thing. He said, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. You see all of that today going on. You see the defensive posture with America, mess with China and Russia. You see, war, Syria. You got that going on all over the world. And they shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. It says all these are the beginning of sorrow. It says then shall they deliver up to be. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It said, then shall many be offended, okay, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And it said, many false prophets, listen to this, false prophets. And shall, it says, many shall false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, because of the lawlessness that you see. I find it very interesting today, Wells Fargo, how they're going to pay the government billions of dollars, and they were talking about a fraud they just did to the people. Lawlessness abounding. It's everywhere. And so here it is. They had people opening accounts, employees opening accounts and making millions off these accounts. But at the same time, all these people are victimized, and they said, after they went over and found it out, they're going to give them $25. Pretty much everybody's going to get $25 apiece. Well, the government, the other half a billion, there's a problem with that crookedness. And then you got people going to church to be taken advantage of. They think they're in the kingdom of God, and they get in there and they get hustled, and a lot of people leave out of these places hurt And so the love of God has grown cold. They can't understand why these things are happening, but a lot of it is being scripturally aware of what's going on. And is it because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, the love of God and many shall grow cold. But he that shall endure it unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, not a gospel, it said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the world, in all the world, for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. But notice he's got a specific. He said, and this gospel, okay, not a gospel, but this gospel shall be preached. And then he said, all the kingdom. So you find out you have the word of God. That's like everybody's running around with a Bible, but they don't realize there's a specific when you're dealing with the kingdom of God, when you're talking about the gospel, you know. And so, but the bottom line was, and because I'm getting, like I said, with notes, get ready to notes. And so, basically, what I was saying in looking at these scriptures, and he goes on to tell us, and he gets into Amos 8, and then, like I said, I'm going back to Psalms 92. It says, behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. There's going to be a day when the understandings of the people are not there to hear the word. Okay? And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north and even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Many shall come in my name. And they're telling you they should not find it. They're going to be looking. People out there want to hear the word of God, but you can't find it in these buildings in this day and time. Okay, and it said, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. And 92, I'm getting back to this. And the brutish man, what they're not concerned, because what they were asking him, and I hope y'all follow me. To me right now, I'm like a little race. I'm trying to make sure I get this word of God across to you. It said, the brutish man knoweth not, neither do a foolish man understand this. You know, what they've seen. They don't understand it. And the disciples were asking them, when are the wicked going to be removed? That's what they were really asking. And when the wicked spring up as the grass, as you see now, they all over, all in your government, all in your churches. It says, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, you see this lawlessness, when the lawlessness shall abound, when it is everywhere, when it shall flourish, in other words, it's popular everywhere, people doing everything. I look at even using a computer in this day and age, how hard that is to keep your mind in the right place. People don't know your eyes and your ears are an interest to your brain. Whoever controls your mind, your thinking controls you. Okay? So you turn on the internet. Always a suggestion of something sexual. We have all this sexual deviance throughout the country, spreading throughout the world. Everything is sold through sex. You can't watch TV without some kind of suggestion. That goes into the mind, and the mind has to be protected from these things. This is where the word of God comes in, because if there is no protection, if you do not understand the scripture, you'll get caught up in these things. And that's what's happening right now in the world. And it says, when it shall flourish, when the workers, it talks about that, and when all the workers of iniquity, lawlessness, do flourish, he said, and it is that, this is what they don't understand about this. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. Okay? And he said, he let us know. He said, what they didn't understand, I'm just going to read through that scripture so you can actually hear what the word was saying. It says, when the wicked spring it up, and it's verse 7, as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. When he asked them, when the disciples were asking them, when shall it be an end to this madness? You know, when shall they restore the kingdom, when he was asking that? So they were looking for the return of Christ and what should be the signs of his coming And that is the signs of his coming. You see all these philosophers out here. You see all these people talking, but they don't have no connection to God, period. They've never been born again. They don't understand kingdom principles. How it's not a gospel. It is the gospel. It's only one. You don't have multiple gospels. And you see that in how to enter into the kingdom. The Bible tells us, but nobody seems to follow that no more. They give you all kind of other things to do. They tell you all other purposes that are not the purpose what God has intended and what Christ was talking about in his kingdom. Jesus, okay, this is John 3:3. So Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Notice this, except a man be born again, except he become a new creature, new way of thinking, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. He cannot see. Except he be born again. So many people are rising up and thinking it's in them to teach. Okay? And there's a problem with that. And I'm like, I know some of y'all listen to me. Now I'll show you why I know I have the ability to teach, because it's a process, a procedure that you got to follow. Okay? And God lets you know that you don't just rise up one day and decide you want to do this. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can't get in. And you have to be born of water and spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, what were they doing? They were standing in one place. They were all gathered in one place. And he told you the kingdom of the Holy Ghost, or the kingdom of God, come without observing. Not something you're going to be looking for. And they were all in one person, one mind, working together, praying probably, and having some Bible study and talking about what is happening, how King Jesus was gone now. And say, and this is going to be chapter 7. Let me read that of Luke. Okay. Chapter 7, Luke. Okay, hold up. I think I didn't lost my place here. Okay. So it talks about that in the scripture, how without observance. So the kingdom of God should be within you. So when it talks about a man being born of water and of spirit, it is because it's within you. Give me a second. I'm looking for this verse here. So you can understand what the kingdom of God really is versus what we've been told. And people think it's about joining a church. It's not about joining a church. And it's actually about being born again. It's about becoming part of his kingdom. And like I said, the kingdom comes within two parts. And those two parts is water and spirit. I should have marked this because I always look at this scripture, and it's always interesting because understanding that it's in you. And I had to give you guys that on Saturday because I'm not going to spend all my time looking for it, but it's in Luke. I know that. One other place. Here it is. It's verse 17. I'm saying 17. It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees, this is Luke 17:20, and hope y'all still holding on there, 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observance on the day of Pentecost. Read chapter 2. They were all there in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind. That's Acts 2. Okay, it said, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So that is about a born-again process. And so on the day of Pentecost, they were told what to do. Peter stood up to speak for the kingdom of God, to tell you, because he told Peter in Matthew 16 that he would give him the keys, the authority to open that door. And so on the day of Pentecost, he opened the door to the kingdom of God. And like I said, it's a two-part thing. He's born with the Holy Ghost first. The Holy Ghost came in on the people. They were all filled, and they began to speak with tongues, not no foreign language. Read, keep reading, you'll see, so they spoke in a language. They didn't speak the gibberish. He says, now, when this is verse 6, I'm just going to stop reading this right here because I want y'all to hear this because everybody believing in these babbling tongues nowadays. He said, now, when he was the noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language, not some foreign tongue. In verse 21 in Acts 2, it says, then it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ye men of Israel, he said, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, and say no God, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, ye, as ye yourselves know, God was working through that man. And so they were listening, they were asking, they still needed clarification on what was going on, how to become a part of this kingdom. And he went on to talk, and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has met that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked. They were moved in their heart. They were convicted in their heart, speaking an audible language and their understanding of their unrighteousness. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we apply calling upon the name of Jesus? Peter said, unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you called by God, you went through that process of procedure. And that's one thing I can tell you. He talked about in Acts 1 and 8, he said you should be witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1 and 8, too, after, not before. So if a person has never been born again, he really has no authority to teach the kingdom of God. How are you going to teach something that you're not a part of, that you just barely kind of thinking you understand, but you don't understand? And so many people go to church today and don't know these requirements, don't know you have to be baptized in Jesus' name, don't know you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they out teaching. See, I remember when I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and it took me several years before I got the Holy Ghost. I was standing in church, not in some Terry room, and actually filling me, and I was thanking Jesus, magnifying his name, and he came down on me, filled me. So that gave me the ability to understand these scriptures the way I do. I just didn't come up with this and begin to make up something. That's what people don't understand. You're not born again. You do not. And I'm not talking about these religious experiences. I'm talking about scriptural experience. If you're not born again, you don't have no business trying to really teach this to nobody until you get a clear understanding and God gives you the ability, give you authority. That's a sign of the authority for you to do that once you have gotten the Holy Ghost. And so these philosophers out here, they're teaching all these other things because they have never been born again. They have no parts of this. And a lot of churches, they go to church and don't understand. They don't even tell you this. Acts 19, it says, and it shall come to pass while Apollos was at Corinth. Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Then they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They don't even understand it is a requirement. You can't be a part of the kingdom of God. We ain't talking about church because Christ was talking about a kingdom. This is what the war is. In his scriptures, I'm not going to be able to touch on, such as Isaiah 59. Where he talks about when the enemy should come in like a flood. And I'm going to see if I can get there, but my time is counting me down here. And so he said unto them, okay, so they don't even know that that's a requirement. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? How was you fully submerged in water? He said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they began to speak with tongues, and they were prophesied the word of God. So we find out if you don't have that, you're not in the right place. You know, people will tell you you can do a whole lot of things, but that doesn't mean that's going to be so. And this is Isaiah 59 and 19. So it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the east, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Notice this, when the enemy, this is where we are today. Many have entered out here into the field and have nothing to do with God. A bunch of philosophers. He says, and the enemy shall come in like a flood. Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is the standard. Water baptism in Jesus' name. First of all, being born again by the scripture, born again. And then holding to the apostle doctrine, not adding what is not there. Let's look at this. So they said, when the enemy should come in like a flood, it says, and this is going to be Revelations 12 and 15. And it says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, the kingdom of God, and that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now let's look at this woman. Because this woman is symbolic of the kingdom. It is symbolic of the kingdom. Okay. It says, I'm sorry, I was looking at what's going on here. Okay, it says, and there appeared, and this is Revelation 12, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That is a representation of Israel, the kingdom of God. And she being with child, travailed in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. This represents the kingdoms of Satan. And 7 crowns upon his head. And he and his tail drew the third parts of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's what Herod did. He sent out, found out the king was being born, the kid, the true rightful heir of the kingdom, and he sent him out to kill him, killing all those kids, and the kids under 2 years or something like that. You can read that in your own Bible. It's right there in the beginning of Matthew's and Luke. I mean, it'll be Matthew's. It says, and so, and she brought forth a child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, with strength, with our, you think about a rod of iron, with the power of God, pretty much. And her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. It said, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that she may feed her there 1,103 scores. But going on, let's get down to verse 7. It said, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. See, this is what this is about. See, we have two kingdoms here, but if you don't really know scriptures, you're looking at some building talking about church. No, you're part of a kingdom, a coming kingdom. And there's going to be, and you see the devil is after that kingdom of destroying those believers, the saints of God, and saying he prevailed not. And what's not found, okay, verse 9 said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out. He's in process of that now. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, the day of Pentecost, and the strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them before God, before our God, day and night. And you have to read the rest of that because my time is going here. But you find out he's cast out this flood. So when the enemy, all those people out there working without the authority of God, the enemies of God, all these false religions and philosophy, and the dragon was rotten, this verse 17, with the woman and went to make war with the remnants of her seed. Notice this. Which kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus, who had the Holy Ghost and who stands on the apostles' doctrine. I just didn't have enough time to continue on to get into that. But that's the problem, people. That's why we have so many philosophers. Satan is at work. You guys need to get yourself together because we're running out of time. Like it's talking about withdrawing from this world. It's time for you to bring your mind out of these states and have a relationship with God before it's too late. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out to the Revolutionary Gospel News. I hope you guys were patient enough to stick with me. Sometimes you start out like that, but the main thing is to get the word of God to you for your edification and so you can enter into a relationship with God. And this is Joseph Smith coming to you live from Revolutionary Gospel News. You all have a blessed day. You have a great day.